Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome into Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. I'm your host, Mark Cox, along with my partner, Bo Matthews, and, of course, producer Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
Yeah, absolutely. We're getting ready for a great weekend. What a weekend it is, right? I mean, heading into Inauguration Day on Monday and a whole new outlook, hopefully, on Second Amendment issues, Bo, because that's what we talk about on here so often.
It is. And well, that's the purpose of the show. And if you support the First and Second Amendment and the whole Constitution, well, this is your show. But, you know, quite honestly, this is a pretty exciting weekend because our very own Mark Cox is going to be in attendance up on the podium, witnessing Donald Trump being sworn in. I can tell you're going to hold the Bible for him, right?
Yeah, that's it. No. I won't be anywhere near the man, but I am going to be in the crowd for sure. Thank you for that. I'm
excited. I am. Hopefully people will tune into my show on Monday morning. I'll be calling in from D.C. and, you know, just talking about the crowd size and the excitement and what's going on down there. We've kind of planned this out right after the election. We got a hotel room just outside of Alexandria. So we'll stay on the Virginia side. We'll take public transportation into D.C. because so many streets are closed. Like, I got the list here, Bo, that you're not going to believe this. I'm going to find this for you real quick, because the Capitol Police have put out a list of items that you're allowed to have not have, I should say, on the Capitol grounds. And when you listen to it, it sounds a whole lot like they think there's going to be another riot or something, right? Because listen, some of this is just common sense. But for example, you have to leave your body armor at home. You cannot enter the Capitol grounds with any body armor. Just so you know, like, anybody's going to be surprised.
What's happened at our Capitol before? I think you need to bring your body armor, for crying out loud. Got some pretty fashionable stuff out there.
You're not allowed to bring any grappling hooks in case that you're thinking of scaling the building. You can't bring, obviously, any explosives in case you were thinking of that. No firearms, no flammable liquids, no glass, thermal, or metal containers, which means I guess you couldn't carry a thermos with you. You can't, this is important, and I'll have to check my backpack, which I won't be allowed to carry anyway. You can't bring any handcuffs. I'm reading this right from the list of things you are not allowed to bring. These things will be prohibited from the Capitol grounds on Inauguration Day. Laptops, tablets, and iPads, you're not allowed to bring those onto the grounds. Isn't this silly?
Okay.
It's really, ridiculous.
Why did you say you had to check your backpack for handcuffs? Why does Mark Cox own a pair of handcuffs?
It was a joke.
Are they fuzzy?
Yeah, zip ties too. Here you go. So you can't bring mace or pepper spray. You can't bring any noisemakers. You can't bring laser lights, scooters. You can't bring signs, placards, or banners. You can't bring toy guns. I mean, they've just got the whole long list of things that you're not going to be allowed on the Capitol grounds. Now, we have tickets for the inauguration on Monday, which allows
these assigned? They're not seats. So
no.
It's general, like, you know, you get there, you're going to be closer to the front.
Well, I assume they've limited the number of those that they're giving out to a certain number. I don't know what that number is. But it's the grassy area below the Capitol on the backside there. And then, of course, the podium and everything is up above you where they'll do the actual swearing in. And then they have rows of seats for the VIPs right down front. And then it's standing room behind that.
So we will be in that standing room area. And let me tell you what, Bo, I know that you normally look at me and you think of me as a fashion plate, but I will be sacrificing my fashion for warmth on Monday. It's going to be high teens, gusty winds, and a chance of snow flurries. So I'm going to be layered up in every piece of thermal that I have, and you know, scarfs and
Bernie gloves.
And, yeah, exactly. Mittens. I'm going to look like Bernie Sanders on inauguration.
How about an Elmer Fudd hat? You got one of those that flips down over the ears?
Well, here's the thing. It says on here you're not allowed to have a range finder. Now, I don't know why you would need a range finder on the Capitol grounds that day, but what about binoculars? Like, chances are I'm still going to be far enough away that to see Donald Trump as he takes the oath of office, I'm going to need a pair of binoculars. So I hope they don't mistake those for range finders and the Capitol Police don't tackle me. That's what I'm looking forward to.
At the assassination attempt in Pennsylvania, they were saying, I think I heard somebody, I don't know if it was mainstream media or not, they were saying that rangefinders are common for photographers. And maybe that's what they're concerned about, because, you know, two different elements of people need a rangefinder. I've never heard of that for a photographer. I may be wrong, not a photographer. So maybe that may be why it made the list. I don't know.
Yeah, it does not specifically say no, field glasses or binoculars. So hopefully I can take that safely. Everything else I'm going to have is going to be for warmth, like the hot hands. I got to buy a bunch of those and stick them in my pockets to try to stay warm that day. We're going to be walking a lot. Let's face it. I mean, it's just that's what it's going to be.
I'm really glad you brought that up because I always get my wife the hot feet thing, you know, the things that go in the shoes. I noticed that they actually put them on the top of the feet. Have you ever seen that?
I have, and I've never had any luck with those working, ever.
On the top of the foot.
Even when you put it on the top of your foot, I've never really had much luck with those.
Well, they work on the bottom side for sure, but they're weird to walk in. But anyway, I know we got to wrap this up here real quick, but what time is the inauguration supposed to be so everybody can...
It's at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central Time is when he'll actually get sworn in.
Wow.
So, looking
exciting.
Forward to it.
Well,
and I'll have
travels,
a full report when I return on the air next week. And, of course, we'll talk about it next weekend on this show. How about that?
Very exciting. Very exciting for you. Be safe. Safe travels. We got a big show for you coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. When is the last time, or if you ever have gone eagle hunting, or not hunting, eagle watching. Sorry. We're going to check in with Scott Israel.
It's against the law.
It's a Second Amendment show. That's why it's on my brain. Scott Ingringhausen is going to be our guest next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, if you are paying attention these days, there's a pretty good chance this cold weather, all the ice we got on the rivers, it seems like it's time to see some eagles. And I'm betting you have a great opportunity to do that coming up. Our friend Scott Isringhausen back with us this morning on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, urban fishing coordinator for the southern part of the state of Illinois, and spends a lot of time up there at Pere Marquette State Park. And Scott, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Well, I'm great, and thank you for having me here.
Yeah, absolutely, my friend. Good to have you. It's a busy time of the year for you, huh?
Well, it is. It seems like all times are pretty busy, but we're definitely getting into the eagle season, and we're seeing quite a few eagles, and it's a great time of the year to be outside and witness them, for sure.
Scott, do you gauge, what's a good year or what's a down year? Is there a way to gauge that throughout the years that you've been doing this and letting people know when it's time to go watch the eagles?
Well, there is. I mean, it's all weather dependent. You have to get cold weather to really bring the eagles down to this area. And in saying that, actually, my counterpart today, he drove from Alton to Pere Marquette State Park this morning, and they were, you know, there's getting to be quite a bit of ice out in the river, but he saw at least 40 being conservatively, and he maybe said maybe over 50 eagles today, this morning, just on that drive.
Wow. Wow. And you know what? It's amazing because if you don't know what you're looking for, you can miss it. And I was one of those guys many years ago, and a lot of people like to make a day of it, make a date out of it, if you will. But I remember going up years ago up the river road. We're not seeing anything. We pulled into a commuter parking lot near the river so we could look at that at least. And we were right below, Mark, we were right below this tree, and we get out of the vehicle and looked up. And the nest was like as big as my bedroom. It just looked huge. And I'm like, oh, there they are. So you do need to know what you're looking for, right?
Well, you know, we talk about baseball a little bit once in a while. I tell people, look for a white baseball up in a tree, and usually there's a body attached to that baseball.
Yeah, that's a good point. Scott, obviously the river is an attraction for these eagles because it's a food source, right? I mean, they're living up along the river. But I have a friend who's an attorney, Eric Cantor. I know you've probably heard his commercials on the radio and TV in the area. He owns some land out near Warrenton on the Missouri side, and he's had some video on his social media of an American bald eagle out there. So, I mean, you can run into them in a lot of different places, right?
Well, that's true. You know, the eagle, when the water really gets froze up, and again, you mentioned the rivers, their favorite food is fish, and the second being waterfowl. But especially when the rivers really get froze up, a lot of times these eagles will kind of scatter throughout the countryside and look for a roadkill deer or a raccoon. But they're pretty opportunistic, and they'll eat a lot of things. And to answer your question, yes, you can see them in a lot of different locations, even away from the river.
I think it's very cool. And you guys offer some instructional information at some different seminars that you do where the reservations are needed. What can people learn on your winter program you've got going right now?
Well, yes, we do. The programs all start at 8:30 in the morning. I'll start with about an hour indoor informative program. I will have a stuffed immature as well as a mature eagle. Whenever I say immature, that means one that doesn't have a white head. They don't get that until they're 5 years old. Included in that will be a video. From there, we drive in our own vehicles. We typically drive through the Two Rivers National Wildlife Refuge, get to see an active eagle's nest. We cross the Brussels Ferry over into Calhoun County, and right around that ferry, for your listeners, if you can't come on a program, that's a great place to see the eagles. From there, we drive on to another section of the refuge. It's actually the Swan Lake levee, and it's 8 miles, and we'll have Swan Lake on one side and the Illinois River on the other side. It's a private gated road, so it's something you can't drive through. The public can't, but we're fortunate to get to go through that. From there, we'll make our way up to the town of Hardin, Illinois. We typically eat lunch at a couple of restaurants along the river, and lunch is on your own, but anyway, we watch some eagles hopefully while we eat. From there, we kind of go through the northern end of the Calhoun County area, sometimes go over on the Mississippi River towards the town of Hamburg, cross back the Campsville Ferry, and we'll get back sometime between 3 and 3:30 in the afternoon. And on that trek or that drive, a lot of times we'll see white-tailed deer, we'll see wild turkeys, maybe snow geese, maybe some ducks. We see a lot of other waterfowl, or a lot of other wildlife besides the eagles. So it's an all-day deal. I do ask that people, have gas in their cars, because we do drive drive a ways, and bring a pair of binoculars as well as a camera. No guarantee you'll get a picture, but anyway, that's what kind of takes place on the tour. And you do need to make a reservation, but again, the best thing about these programs, that 100% free, except you have to buy your own lunch.
Wow. Plus, you get to spend the day with Scott Isringhausen on top of all that. You forgot to mention that.
Now, I don't know if that's good or not, though.
You're famous in these parts, boy. Come on.
I don't know about that.
Oh, man. So do you, I don't, obviously, is there a limit on the number of people you can take each day? I mean, what is that? What's that look like, Scott?
We take 50 people a day. 50? What we try to take. 50 people. I mean, okay. If you get too many more than that, you got too long a line to cars, and it just gets not as good a program, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I do my best to limit it to 50 people.
Anything else going up on the River Road area that people may not know about? Of course, everybody knows about Fast Eddie's, but other things that maybe have popped up that you thought, oh, this is a cool addition to the community here, especially when you're welcoming in people from really all over the world to come see these Eagles, but especially around this region. Has anything stood out to you? Did you find a new tavern to go to or anything like that?
Well, you know, I like to go to the tavern, and sometimes I go there neat. The name of it's Straight Home, and I tell my wife that's where I'm going every night. For some reason, she just doesn't laugh, and I don't know why. I just say I'm going straight home again tonight.
So I guess the answer is no, then.
Well, not really, but I will mention this. If you want to mention this, the lodge is open, has great fruit, food, and that they also offer Eagle packages, and I don't know what they are, but they're usually really good. Like buy one night, get one free, and I'm not saying that's what it is, but. That, they do offer packages as well. So for your guests, the lodge is always open. Great place to eat, and you can come and stay, and then you'll come and do the Eagle program the next day.
Yeah, the lodge is really cool. Now it's been a number of years since I've been up there. I'll have to admit, but very rustic looking. I mean, it's just if you've never stopped by, even for a meal, you should do that because we've been up there a number of times. What is it they're so famous for? Is it their fried chicken, Scott? I'm trying to remember.
Fried chicken, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fried chicken. The park's open, the hiking trails are open, the town of Grafton, all the little pubs and the businesses. It's, I like this time of the year. And, if you get out in the woods, you can see through the woods, and, the scenery around here is definitely very pretty all seasons for sure.
Well, just so people know, I mean, just looking ahead on the schedule here, you've got five different opportunities, it looks like. No, six in the month of February, seven in the month of February. I didn't go to school for math. I went to school for broadcasting. I was counting them as I went along here. And it looks like the last date you could do this is March 7th. Is that right, Scott?
That is right. And you get to March 7th date, we're still going to see some Eagles, but the kind of the neat thing about that is not as many Eagles, but we should see like pelicans and, lots of other types of wildlife more at that time of the year. So you're getting a little bit more towards the end of the Eagle season, but chances of seeing a variety of wildlife is quite a bit better than early February.
Yeah, are American Eagles, bald eagles, are they territorial? Do they keep out other like Canadian geese or anything like, do they keep them away or do they, stay separated or do they all kind of habitat together?
Well, geese are a food source for the eagle for sure. Waterfowl, ducks, and geese bowl, so they don't really tolerate each other, too much. And a little bit about the eagles might be interesting for you to mention. Whenever eagles mate, they mate for life, and then they make this trek south and they come down here in the wintertime, but they don't necessarily stay together with their mate. And then the eagles will fly back up north and get together with their mate. And probably the most amazing thing to me about the eagles is, how do they know who their mate is and where that nest is? I mean, I find that to pretty amazing. But now the ones that you've heard of eagles' nests, I'm sure, well, you talked about the eagles' nests. Now, the ones that nest here actually stay year-round. So we have some eagles which are residents which stay all the time.
Oh, I didn't know that either. I certainly didn't know that Canadian geese were a food source for eagles. That's brutal.
They are, yes. Waterfowl, ducks, and geese. And what typically happens is they get like an injured duck or goose and one that can't fly or fly very well, and that's the one that they go after. Or one they'll get in the water, they'll just keep going right in the water, and then eventually has to come up for air long enough, and they'll swoop down and get it. That's usually what happens.
Curious, because we did talk to World Bird Sanctuary last week, and I guess that's how we got called by you, because we did give a shout-out about the eagles. Do you guys have, at Pier Marquette or anywhere in the area, any, injured that are, at a nursing home for eagles in your area? Do you have any, that people can get up close to them, or no?
We do. We have the Treehouse Wildlife Center. It's in Dow, and it's only less than 10 miles from right where I'm sitting right now. And you can they have several eagles, and you can walk right up to them, yes.
Oh, that's so cool. Put that on the bucket list.
Well, and it might be more convenient. I mean, we were talking about the Wild Bird Sanctuary, which is out where in Fenton, right?
Fenton or Valley Park?
I don't know where it is.
Yeah, Valley Park. So
I don't know where it is.
For people on the east side of the river, that one might be even more convenient for them, right, Scott?
Well, on this side it would be, yeah. You know, from the from this side it would be. It's real accessible. It's not in a town or not. You know, it's very accessible for people to get to for sure. Well,
hopefully, people will pay attention and get scheduled for this. I think the phone number you're recommending they call is at the Visitor Center. If you want to take part in the Pere Marquette Bald Eagle Days or make reservations, you can call them at 618-786-3323. And they've always got information online at dnr.illinois.gov. And you can go in there and find out more details. Did I get that right, Scott?
Nope, 100% correct.
Outstanding. Looking forward to it. I'm going to have to do that one of these days. We've talked about it on the radio for years and talked about it with my wife, but we've never been over there for for that. No, I'd love to.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't want to come on one of these tours, you let me know when you want to come, and I'll do my own private tour with you guys.
Wow.
What? Yeah. Can I get in on that? Come on.
Now we might have to stop at Fast Eddie's or something.
Yeah, well, there you go. Now you're talking. Well,
Carl's paying for that.
Well, see, I went up there. I went up and I was talking to Scott on the phone. He was giving me a private tour on the phone. And okay. I said, all right, we're exactly where you said to be. And Boat was kind of like you. He said, all right, now look up in the tree. And we didn't see anything because we were looking in the water. We thought they'd be fishing. Nope. They were all just sitting in the tree watching the water.
Yeah.
And then like 5 seconds later, they all went in to go grab fish. And then they went back to the tree.
Smart.
So
they do that a lot. They really do.
Scott's got them trained well, clearly.
Scott just said,
I got them on remote control.
Just look in the tree, and there they were.
The difference between big fish, Mark Cox, and American Eagles is that Mark goes fishing, but Eagles go catching.
Yeah, and it took me a few more than 5 years to get this head full of gray hair, but I'll just have to say that, right?
It's chrome, baby. It's chrome.
Well, Scott, listen.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, always a pleasure having you on, my friend. Thank you.
Well, hey, I sincerely appreciate it, honestly, and thank you. And just for a heads up, fishing for June the 7th.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's
your
coming
grandson.
Up then.
You guys will do that again. I appreciate that more than anything.
You bet. And I've had my grandson out for the one you had indoors, right, last year?
At the Collinsville show? Did you come to the Collinsville show?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, I know I did that again this past year, too.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, we'll have you on again as that gets closer.
No, I would sure appreciate it very much.
Excellent. All right, Scott, take care of yourself. We appreciate it. Always great to get him on here. Urban fishing coordinator there for the southern part of Illinois, and just does a great job. Bo, you know, recently had a chance to talk about the House Bill 4144 they just passed over in the state of Illinois. Speaking of that, it is a red flag law. And it's already being challenged by a lot of pro-gun groups over in the state of Illinois. And I had a chance to talk to Illinois State Representative David Freese about that. And we're going to get to more on that conversation coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Alongside Mark Cox, I'm Bo Matthews. Thank you for listening to the show. And please share the show as it is a podcast on the Odyssey app, the free Odyssey app. You can share the show with all like-minded folks that support the Second Amendment and, of course, the First Amendment. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. If you've been talking about or thinking about suppressing a firearm, you want to get a silencer, they call it, right? Well, it doesn't make it silent, but it does quiet it down some, especially if you use subsonic ammo. Here's the deal. Go to Razorback Armory in De Pere on Manchester Road. It's just east of 270. You can get their address and learn more about suppressing a firearm today. Get that process started at RazorbackArmory.com. All right, so a couple of important conversations that have already happened, but we didn't want you to miss out on it. Mark Cox talked to Illinois Rep. David Freese about red flag laws in the state of Illinois and what it means for you. Also, the abolishment of the ATF. Let's go.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Yeah, you know, Beto O'Rourke, they've already done that in Illinois. For goodness sake, I don't even know what to say about that. He warned you about it. You know that there are a bunch of them out there that want to grab your guns in any way that they can. And unfortunately, for my friends who live over here in southern Illinois, you've got a super majority of leftists who control your state, and they can do anything they want, including a House Bill 4144. which is unconstitutional, in my opinion. The Illinois Freedom Caucus has condemned it. And we've got State Representative David Freese on the phone right now from the 115th District and to talk a little bit more about this. And, sir, welcome back to the show. How are you?
No, I'm well, Mark. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. You know, obviously this caught my attention because I talk a lot about the Second Amendment. And, you know, I truly believe at some point the Supreme Court is going to overturn some of the unconstitutional stuff that J.B. Pritzker and the Democrats in Illinois have forced down our throat in terms of, you know, weapons bans. I think that's going to get overturned at some point. In the meantime, they keep going.
Yeah, there's it's one of those things that they have their sights set on, no pun intended, and they're going to do everything they can to disarm us here in the state of Illinois. And it's not just what assault weapons, whatever the hell that means, because an assault weapon is something that just looks different than a regular gun. It's got a plastic stock as opposed to a wood stock. But yeah, so here we have 4144, and what they want to do on this one is if an individual goes in and files for an order of protection, what happens is in those proceedings, somebody goes in without the respondent in court, and a judge can issue an order of protection based on that. But when that happens now is the courts can issue a search warrant and then come in and law enforcement will seize your firearms without any kind of due process. And in our opinion, my opinion, this is unconstitutional. You have a right to the Second Amendment, and the seizure of your firearms without due process is without question unconstitutional.
Well, it's the biggest challenge with these red flag laws, which, you know, at their base, you can kind of you can understand the intent of it, like the one they passed in Florida right after the Parkland shooting down there. But you can't just throw out your civil rights along with that, because the danger of these is that you've got a neighbor that you've never gotten along with who's just pissed off at you and knows you have guns in the house, and they go and file a complaint against you, and before you know it, you're stripped of your Second Amendment rights. Now, is this a modification of the red flag law in Illinois, or is this something new?
Well, it's a modification of the means by which you get an order of protection against somebody. Yeah, and I agree. So people that don't know, I have a day job. I'm an attorney, and I've been in court on the petitions for order of protections, and that's exactly what happens, because if you've got a couple that's been married, they have a falling out, they get in a fight, somebody has an affair, you know, whatever the case may be, is things blow up, and the next thing that happens is you're in court defending an order of protection by your former significant other. It happens all the time.
Well, I'm shocked that they've done it now. So what's the status on it? The General Assembly has approved this House bill. Is it on the governor's desk? Is it law yet?
It is not law. It just got passed. I wouldn't be surprised if it's heading to his desk right now. It's one of those very unfortunate things. We've got the state legislature and the governor all on the same page on this. They want, like I said, they want to disarm us completely, and they would if they could.
Yeah, well, I mean, this gets back to the other law banning the assault weapons. I mean, I know that a lot of people, gunowners.org and others, and maybe the NRA are involved in this. I know the Illinois Firearms Association has been working on it as well. They're challenging that in court, but it seems to be taking forever. And I've been surprised. I mean, you're an attorney. You can talk to this better than I can, David. I was surprised when the Supreme Court didn't just immediately stay the law, because on its face, it violates your Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. You turn legal residents of Illinois into criminals if they haven't gone out and registered a gun that after the fact somebody decided is more dangerous than some other gun.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And I don't understand it either, why the Supreme Court didn't immediately stay these proceedings and let the process play out, take it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and get a ruling on it. That's, in my mind, that's what should have happened. That's what happens frequently when there's other things that are pending. Okay, we're going to rule this way, but we're going to appeal it. Everybody knows this. Okay, so we're going to stay the ruling. Everything is as it is until we get to the appellate process. But for whatever reason, that this issue has drug on, and if you know the individuals that are fighting this, they might be able to answer this correctly.
Yes.
But why this has not gone all the way up to the Supreme Court and they haven't kicked this, I have no idea.
I think about that whole crazy deadline that they set for January of last year where people were supposed to register a lot of their guns. I forget which types, but what wasn't the percentage of how many people actually did that understandably pathetic?
It was
They actually expected people to be super eager to run out and say, oh my gosh, yes, I've been so excited to register my gun. Here you go. Here's all my information.
Yeah, no, it was really small, single digits. I don't know the final number, but we all laughed about it because mm-hmm. I don't know anybody that was eager to do that, and I know people that they absolutely refused. They said, I'm not doing this, because they know at the end of the day, when this finally gets to the Supreme Court, it will be found unconstitutional.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the Illinois Freedom Caucus, I mean, thank goodness that there's a group of people over there standing up to the insanity that's going on in Springfield. What difference do you think it might make that when you look at the results of the election, Donald Trump did so much better in the state of Illinois than anybody expected? I mean, we know already if you drew a line just south of Chicago, it'd be a red state. But even in the Chicago area, Donald Trump got a larger percentage of the vote than I think anybody expected.
Yeah, so we as a Freedom Caucus, we were disappointed that we didn't pick up some seats. We really believed that we should have.
Yeah.
That being said, everybody's looking at the numbers, and we think there is an opportunity to make inroads into the Chicago suburbs, pick up some seats, and allow us a greater opportunity, better opportunity to push back on some of this craziness. And we were actually, I just got back in town yesterday after lame duck. And before we left, a group of us Freedom Caucus members met. And we're in the process of trying to formulate a plan to do this. We've got to recruit good candidates in these swing districts. And even, so Second Amendment is a big deal. Obviously, some of the transgender craziness is a big deal. I don't know a single Democrat that thinks boys ought to be in our daughters', locker rooms or bathrooms. So we need to highlight those issues. We need to push those, and we need to, go out and work for votes in the suburbs. And I think we can do it.
Well, best of luck to you, my friend. We're talking to Illinois Representative David Freese from the 115th District, a member of the Illinois Freedom Caucus. IllinoisFreedomCaucus.org is their website. You could find out about more of the issues they're working on over there. And if you live in Illinois, show them some love. Give them some support, because without the kind of ground level work you guys are doing, meeting and talking about these issues, you don't have a chance of eating into that supermajority, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Please, like us, find us, share our content, get out there. And obviously money's one thing, but if you can't donate, get your walking shoes on and come this midterm, we got to get out and we got to knock some doors. We got to make this happen.
Yes, sir. David, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure, Mark. We appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Take care of yourself. Good to get you on here. Great conversation. And, that's what it gets down to. Like I said earlier, I got people texting me this morning asking me, well, what about this scenario? What about that scenario? The question is not whether or not the person that you filed for the order of protection against is a danger. I mean, if we're not talking about an abusive relationship and where there's no doubt that the person is a danger. We're talking about the abusive red flag laws, where without proper vetting by the court or anything where you might have a say in it, they come in and take your guns because your neighbor doesn't like you. That's what you have to make sure is avoided in these kinds of laws. And the liberals in Illinois don't care. They don't care. It's why Nick Schroer's filed a bill that would make sure that could never happen in the state of Missouri. So you got to pay attention to these things.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We want to get quickly to our friend Luis Valdez with the Gun Owners of America. He's the Florida State Director for them and gunowners.org, the website. Luis, how are you, my friend?
Doing good, and I keep asking all you fellas up north, close the freezer. It's cold down here in Florida.
I heard that iguanas are dropping out of trees. Is this a true thing?
Yeah. Oh, it's very true. You know it's cold in Florida when the iguanas drop out of trees and we have to wear socks with our sandals.
Our hearts are bleeding for you. It's about 20 here this morning, so yeah. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry to hear what you're suffering through. We'll send you some extra socks. How about that?
There you go.
Hey, you know, before we get into the reciprocity issue, of course, around the whole country, I want to ask your thoughts on the fact that a couple of Missouri congresspeople, Eric Burleson and Bob Onder, are co-sponsoring this bill that would basically get rid of the ATF. Any thoughts on that?
Getting rid of the ATF is a fantastic idea, but there's one issue. If you don't repeal the very laws that ATF is enforcing, the problem doesn't go away. Look, ATF's entire history was created in a similar vein. When Prohibition ended, all of those Prohibition agents were still on the federal payroll, so all that happened was they got moved from enforcing alcohol laws to gun laws. And all that would happen in this case is all of the 1811 special agents within ATF would probably be divvied up between Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, Immigration, and a couple of these other agencies. But the fact that the National Firearms Act, the Gun Control Act of 68, all of these import bans, all of these laws are still on the books. So all that would happen is mission creep. The FBI probably would expand with a federal task force of enforcing gun laws. And last I checked, the FBI is not an agency I want tackling our gun rights. Yeah, the ATF is a bunch of Keystone Cops, and I say this as a former cop, but the FBI, that's an agency that has a extreme history of going after Americans' civil liberties.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's an interesting point of view, one I hadn't thought about. We've had Eric Burleson on here a few times talking about it, and certainly something maybe that at least gets some conversation in committee up there. And if somebody brings that point up, maybe with control of both houses, they could rescind a couple of those laws. We can always keep our fingers crossed.
Yep, that's organizationally, that's our end goal, is to repeal all of these anti-gun laws in the first place.
Yeah, outstanding. What about this effort? I keep hearing about it. It's a great idea. Reciprocity introduced in the House and the Senate so that you don't have to worry if you're a licensed concealed carry holder driving through the state of Illinois.
Oh, it goes a step further than that. If you are able to legally carry a firearm in your home state, your rights should not end at your state's borders.
Thank you.
And the current legislation includes language in the House. H.R. 38 includes the fact that if you're from a permitless carry state, all you need is your driver's license to carry nationwide. And again, going back to my former law enforcement days, I'm covered under the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act. I already have 50 state reciprocity. I can carry nationwide. So the idea that my wife, my partner in life, who I trust my life with, is disarmed when we leave Florida, when we go to places like New Jersey or New York to visit family, it is appalling that I'm able to carry because I have a piece of tin in my wallet, but my wife, who is a fine, upstanding citizen, she can't exercise the very same rights that I can. That's wrong, and that's why we're pushing for national reciprocity, because it doesn't matter what you did as a profession. It doesn't matter who signs your paycheck. All that matters is that you're an American and you have an inalienable God-given right to protect yourself.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I always direct people to gunowners.org, great clearinghouse for state alerts. You can set up alerts for yourself through GOA to email alerts so you can find out what's going on around the country. Mixed record for Pam Bondi, I see, is one of the headlines you guys have up here. Is that because of the red flag laws they have in Florida?
It's because of the red flag laws in Florida. It's the fact that she has fought tooth and nail when she was Florida's AG to ban open carry from being legalized in Florida. Remember, we're the only Republican state in the country that bans open carry. Only five states in the nation do it. Florida, New York, California, Illinois, and Connecticut. And Florida's the only Republican one. And she vigorously fought against that. She even had a part to play in George Zimmerman being tried for murder, even though the local PD and the local state attorney's office says, hey, this was a clear-cut self-defense case, And she even pushed that, trying to weaken Florida's self-defense stand your ground laws.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
So, yes, there's very much an issue of her regarding the Second Amendment.
Do you expect, hopefully, that's going to come up in her hearings?
We are talking with senators right now to specifically bring up these issues during her hearings, her confirmation hearings. We want her to get the full Brett Kavanaugh treatment. You know, the Democrats did that to Brett. Well, we want to do that on the civil rights side for the Second Amendment to her.
Wow. Well, I hope people check it out. Gunowners.org is where you'll find that article. Louis, great to have you on as always, my friend. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. And have your listeners go to our website. They need to contact their lawmakers about Pam Bondi, and they need to contact their lawmakers about national reciprocity. No more, no less.
I'm with you. We'll talk soon. Louis Valdez there from Gun Owners of America. Gunowners.org is the website.
Get more at 971talk.com.